This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I'm going to do something a little different than I would normally do. I'm going to read you a quote first from my guest, Teo Alfaro, and then I'm going to read a quote from Helen Hunt. I'm sure many of you have heard of her, Academy Award winning actress. So Teo's quote, "Wild for me means being in your heart, because the heart is already wild. It's already abundant, already progressive, loving, inclusive, giving, generous, and collaborative. It's just that we're rarely led from that place. We rarely trust that place. This is what wolves teach us, to lead from our hearts. We need only to receive their message." And the quote on his page, his endorsement, I would say, from Helen Hunt, is a testimony of his beautiful work, is, "In the hills of California, a team of people led by Teo Alfaro are healing the human beings and the world, one wolf at a time. Wolf Connection," which is the title of Teo's book, "is the story of how at-risk wolves and at-risk human beings are held by coming together to serve each other and the ancient connection between them. Like being with these wolves, reading this book nourishes and reminds us that we support and are supported by this ancient partnership." She said it's a beautiful book, and I have been reading it, stop and start, because I got really emotional around it. And it is beyond a beautiful book. I'm so honored to be sharing a conversation with Teo. So welcome to Soulful Living, Teo.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Normally, I do a much shorter introduction, but I really wanted the listeners to know how passionate you are and how passionate I felt about diving into this book. So thank you for bringing it to the world. And with that, can you give the listeners a little bit of a history on how this actually came, not just the book, but the Wolf Connection itself, your work?
Well, the easiest way to talk about that is talk about fate and talk about destiny, because it wasn't something that I envisioned or I had in the forefront of my consciousness. Many years ago, in my early 20s, I pledged my life to raising consciousness on this planet, and on the heels of that, I pledged my life to serving the next generation. I felt that the most effective way to raise consciousness would be to leave a legacy of it. So those things I knew. How would that materialize in my life? I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching, I was traveling, I was lecturing, and a little wolf dog mix puppy literally fell on my lap. A friend of mine was trying to sell wolf puppies. I mean, I didn't have a clue about the world and of wolves and the world of illegal pets or any of that. So I ended up rescuing an animal from him, and reluctantly, I must add. And then I had a continuous search to find ways to empower the next generation, to help people to open up and trust themselves and the world around them. And I began looking for a playmate for this little wolf puppy that I got. And that led me to find a group of 16 wolves and wolf dogs in a hoarder facility that needed help. Instead of adopting one, I stayed and volunteered and helped taking care of those animals. And within a few months, I think it was 3 months or so, on a total whim, I ended up taking all 16 of them. And you will love this. Actually, what happened was I was one morning talking to the person that was the owner of the place where these wolves were being held after being rescued from this hoarder, and talking about the weather. And then all of a sudden, these words come out of my mouth. I say, you know, all my life, I wanted to start a wolf sanctuary. And 20 years later, I still don't know who spoke through me, where those words came from. It was not a thought that I have ever formulated in my mind. It was not an idea, or certainly it was not true that all my life I wanted to do it, or at least consciously. But the words were spoken with deep sincerity, compassion and conviction, to the point that this person, you know, said, sure, I'll help you. I'll teach you what I know about rescuing animals. And so she did. And I never looked back. So it was a longing spoken through me, or maybe it was the wolf speaking through me. Who knows? So that's how Wolf Connection started. It started in a magical way.
Well, and it's been such a magical journey from what I've read the whole time. You know, one beautiful, conscious elevating experience after another, and not just for you, for anybody that really came in contact with the sanctuary. There's so many stories that you share. I mean, I have to be honest, as I was reading them, I became so emotional, I had to stop. I had to stop reading and really allow myself to connect with the messages that were being shared through each person whose stories you talked about. And so you have succeeded on this magical journey, I think maybe far beyond what you ever expected.
Far beyond, yeah. To the point that, you know, it is in the book, but this project brought my wife to me. Now we have a beautiful, almost 5-year-old, you know, baby girl. It has brought more joy and fulfillment and tireless purpose that I could have ever anticipated. It's been many times I'm wondering if I'm doing it for the wolves or for myself.
Well, if you read, you know, reading the book, you're doing it for each other, right?
Yeah.
You're doing it for each other. And so I, as a shamanic practitioner, wolf is definitely one of my my spirit helpers. I feel like I'm part of the wolf tribe, and I've felt that way since I was a child, the wolf and the bear. And so I'm sure that's a huge part of why this book spoke to me so much. And yet I understand that walking with each other through the eons, you know, in the book, you talk about this cosmic dream that you had. Well, this dream that you had, I think it's in the cosmic chapter, one of your 12 principles, where they came to you and, you know, shared that you are one, you know, we are one. We walk hand in hand together. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, that chapter, chapter 6, the cosmic wolf, was the chapter that originated the book. And I was going to start the book with that chapter, and then my publisher and editor thought that I was gonna, you know, anybody that would not connect to that level of esoteric message would would not continue reading. So it was apparently was a little more accommodating to put it later in the book and build up to it. Mm-hmm. And then that experience that I had with the wolves, you know, I put it in there. The wolves clearly gave me the instructions to not keep their message and pass it on. So the writing of the book was initiated by that vision. So to make it short for your listeners, a few years back, I had I do dreaming. I dream a lot in the shamanic sense. And a specific night I was met with a presence that identified themselves as wolves. It's a collective consciousness of fed by every wolf that ever existed and will ever exist. And they explain the journey of humanity. They explain that we came as a single beam of consciousness together, wolves and humans. They were wolves and before we were humans. And then the disassociation, the separation of consciousness was the onset of coming into a physical body. And then we became like twin vibrations and continue our journey for millennia together, in a way that we help each other. We assisted in the physical way and in the non-physical way. And they go on to explain when and how and why we created self-reflection or the ego as a survival mechanism. And then, in the urge to keep us safe, the ego began spinning out of balance, out of center. And that created a fog of, so we forgot really our origins. And we've been in that fog since, trying to find our way through the fog. And many of the, I don't know if I didn't go on to explain much of this, but many of the modern technological advancements that we are creating are an unconscious way to try to recover what we lost, like communication and a long distance, the way we are communicating now. The ability to travel in certain ways, flying, and the ability to access cosmic consciousness and knowledge. We used to have a direct access to knowledge, and now we're trying to replicate in very rudimentary ways called the web and other
right.
ways.
Right, that net. Well, I remember watching, I mean, that really doesn't have much to do with the book, but I remember watching Ancient Aliens. That show always gets me. But, you know, they were talking about how on hieroglyphics, they had really had evidence of humans flying and so many other things that we have lost. I think that really one of the beauties of that message that you shared is that, you know, we are connected. We're connected to something greater than what we see in this physical reality. And that when we are open to seeing beyond it and allowing ourselves to tap into that vibration and that feeling, that life will change, not just for us, but every being on the planet.
Yeah. Yes, and the fact that we actually need to do all this work in order to recover what we already have is part of insanity. Of course, we need to do it because there's no other way at this point.
Right.
But you know, we are the only species in the natural kingdom that does needs to do all this inner work and transformational right. and awakening and all that. I mean, nature is awoken. You know, that's a natural state. They're connected to everything.
Well, and you really provide some beautiful scientific research and data on wolf packs and how they move through the world. And, yeah. and you know, it's not just an esoteric book. You provide hardcore evidence of how the wolves move through the world. And from that have created these really beautiful principles. You know, I loved how at the last portion of the book, you kind of reiterated the principles and you put in there a howl in action, you know, ways that you can incorporate these principles into your own life. And yeah. that developed through what you've witnessed over these last so many years.
Sure. And, you know, what the wolves carry, which is what I was hoping to accomplish with the book, and I think I did to an extent, is a transmission of presence. Mm-hmm. So they have a certain way of being, of just occupying this world that is impactful. And I wanted to create somewhat that transmission with the book. So at the end, in the last chapter, I give a few practices that I was aiming to just make it real and simple for the reader, and go beyond the, you know, limiting thought of, well, I need to have a pack of wolves in order to connect with any of this. And no, you don't. It's just a way of just slowing down, connecting nature, connecting with the nature around us. You don't need to be in the middle of the forest to do that. And then connecting with the vibration of the wolves through some of the dogs that we can have a lot more accessible.
Yeah, you know, since we're talking about, you know, connection and communication, one of the principles, Wolf Principle 8, is about effectively communicating, and you provide some, you know, really nice tools to be able to incorporate new ways of communication, and yet some of them are so simple. Even 7, you know, wolves, Principle 7, wolves use their individual gifts and talents for the benefit of all. And you talk about the simplicity just in giving and receiving and how you've witnessed that within the wolf community.
Yeah. 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 The wolves don't question themselves. So there's an ownership that is free of self-reflection, of ego. I mean, we have this for a lot of people in the journey of discovery or raising consciousness. It's a long stage in which the trying to avoid being in ego creates further self-doubt. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly questioning ourselves. Well, it is from ego. I don't want to over, you know. It's a self-hesitation around owning yourself and owning the space and owning your gift and owning, because that would be from the ego. So the wolves have that, there's no doubt. They have this natural ownership of who they are and where they live and what their gifts and messages and energy is, without this staccato kind of energy. So if nothing else, I mean, almost like... if not even addressing the ego, if we are able to read ourselves or move past our self-doubt, that would be all we need.
Well, it's interesting because Remy and I were talking, Remy, my producer, listeners, just in case you didn't know that. And again, let me just reiterate to everybody, I'm having a conversation with Teo Alfaro, and we're talking about the wolf connection and the community that he's built, a wolf therapy program to help people from all over. But Remy and I were talking about something very similar, you know, how we as humans, we overthink, you know, we beat ourselves up, we do so many things and we have doubt, where if we were just present, which I think is such a huge message in the book about being present and observing and allowing, that our life would shift tremendously. And one of the other things that I really wanted to say is that, you know, the message, even from Helen Hunt that I read, was about at-risk wolves and at-risk humans. And something that you talk about in the book is that we're all at risk, right? Every day we're at risk of something. So these principles can do nothing but benefit you.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single one of us is at risk of not living a full life.
Yeah.
Not living a life with all the potential that we were meant to express. So, you know, thinking that, you know, there's in the mountains helping, using foster care or in gang members or in prison, and do for them, and I know I don't need it, that's part of the confusion.
Right. Yeah, because it's something that we all need. And... Yeah. each of the principles, I mean, you don't have to study a wolf pack to realize that these principles are so simple, and it's so beautiful that you've had this gift of observing and being present with them yourself, so that you could take this insight and knowledge and inspiration out into the world and help people at the soul level.
Yeah. And you mentioned presence earlier. You know, I'm going to say nothing new. Humans, we live and live from the head. And mm-hmm. the wolves is all about heart energy. And the heart is present naturally. So we don't really, all we need to do is really just shift the energy from, you know, to bring it down about you know 12 or 14 inches, and that's all the presence we need. The heart is present. The heart is silent. It's not designed for chatter, and the head is designed for chatter. So we mm-hmm. try to figure out our way into presence, figure out our way through practice, figure out our way into meditation. It's part of the same trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't get all that. You know, I have dogs that live with me, and I'm going to kind of get off track for a second. One of the quotes that you said in there was people say, oh, yeah, it reminds me of my connection to my dog or something along those lines. I don't remember the exact quote, but really it reminds us of our connection to wolves. And right. My dogs certainly look like wolves, and they follow me everywhere. But it really does come down to being present, because we don't have that. I mean, we don't take the time to just let go of all the BS and be present.
Yeah. And it's a matter of focus. We haven't lost any of this. It's a matter of, as you know, a matter of emphasis, a matter of where our energy is focused. And the way the wolf explained it to me, we went into this mental spin for a survival reason. Mm-hmm. We were facing an energetic threat, and the way to consolidate into a physical body was a way for us to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And but that was a long time ago, and that became an imprint and had a big cost, which is we disassociate ourselves from most of our energetic abilities. But now it's time to reclaim that. Now it's time to reawaken that.
That gave me chills from head to toe, really. That chills from head to toe. So beautifully said. Well, Teo, we've got about maybe 4 minutes left. And you mentioned before we came on the show, you mentioned that you had some stuff coming up, some programs that you're going to be offering. And I'd love to give the listeners an opportunity to hear a bit about that. I know they can find some info on the website, but give us a little bit about what's coming up.
Well, there are two tracks here. We have Wolf Connection, which is a nonprofit where we rescue the wolves, give them permanent sanctuary, and then bring all these at-risk populations, including corporate America, to come and work with the wolves. So for that, wolfconnection.org, we have some public events coming up, but we have some... so we have events where people can come with their families, and then we have workshops where people can come and learn the wolf ways. And then on my private practice, on teoalfero.com, I specialize completely opposite, specialize on only a few students a year. We go really deep. And the people that study with me typically already have a good level of, they're doing great in their lives. They're not, you know, stuck in the mud. I'm doing an intimate retreat in late October, early November, for a group of 10 or 12. So information on the website too.
And if people were interested then in seeing your work or donating to the sanctuary or even visiting, is that a possibility through the websites? They can find
sure.
that information?
Yeah, wolfconnection.org. The best way to do that is to sign up to our newsletter. and follow us on social media. So because we announce as we go, we announce events and workshops, you know, 2-3 months ahead.
Awesome. Well, I can say firsthand, this has been an amazing book for me. I'm going to take a picture and send it to your publicist because I have so many tabs here to follow. And your life story, even with when you talked about your father, which we could have talked for 2 hours really to get the information out, kind of reminded me of some of my own family experiences. So it's really been profound, and I'm grateful that you were here sharing it. So listeners, I encourage you to grab the book, The Wolf Connection, What Wolves Can Teach Us About Being Human. The 12 wolf principles are really simple and something that we should all incorporate into our lives. So Teo, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought they can take out into the day to elevate their soul or raise their vibration. What would that be for you?
Well, I'm speaking to you here under this beautiful maple tree. So definitely for today, find a time that you can connect with a plant, a tree, the bird outside of your window. Allow them to create a pause in the day, and all of a sudden they'll find that the universe is a lot vaster than we typically make it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope we can do this again.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for having me.